obviously your parents would have your parents came over on Windrush.
They came on a plane, you know, but because the thing is, Windrush is 1940s. That was the ship.
Yeah.
By the time my parents came 1950s, people arriving by plane. Yeah, not so ship.
During that time, the whole Windrush era, that whole travelling time.
Yeah.
Like, did your parents have any, like, musical stories of when they came over? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they did. Interestingly, it was more... I was certainly thinking of my mum. It was more oral music. She remembers very fondly, to this day, singing particular songs at school because they would use their voice a lot more, you know? They'd be like, brown girls, brown skin, just brown girl in the ring, you know, there's all of these. And there's a woman called Louise Bennett who was like a real advocate for using and going back to folk music. And it's still very alive. Like, my family are country folk from Westmorland and Hanover in Jamaica. So it's very traditional. It's very singing with your voice. And that's what I remember more, my mum using and singing. And it's more traditional folk stuff that was sung to her by her mother, maybe her mother's mother sort of thing. I think there's that special thing about parents and family introducing us to the first tune.
That's what I'm saying. And I come from quite a musical family. Like, my cousins, like, used to do music. One of them still do music. Like, they're break dancers. They do, like, all of this mad stuff. Like, my grandma's got her, she still got the vinyl in her house. So, as I said, I ain't got one, but I've got records and no players.
Okay.
But my gran's got the vinyl, so if I ever wanted to make it not mint condition, I could go up to my mum's house and play the vinyl. But yeah.
I didn't know that's your tune. Damn, that's you.
Yeah.
Get out.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow. So let's talk about that tune. I love that tune.
Thank you. Where did I get the
inspiration? Yeah, just like
that?
The flow for that.
The creation of that song was literally, it was like reflex to me. So when there was like a trend going off on TikTok with some guys from New York, I'm not going to say it because, like, they're going to have to bleep it out. So there was just, like, a trend going on, and there was another guy that came out and done a Caribbean rendition of it called Lowkey Ma. And he said, "F your sk- bung bing." And obviously I'm half Guyanese, as well as being a quarter Jamaican, quarter Montserratian as well. So my Guyanese side has got, like, the least amount of, I say the least amount of influence, like, culturally, Jamaica takes over. But, like, through getting to know my Guyanese roots, I'm opening up to, like, a whole new world of a country that I love and that is embedded in me. So, obviously, whether he said or a different word, it's still representing the Caribbean. Do you get what I mean? So I've gone in and I'm with my brethren and we were saying that, like, all week. Like, since we heard it, we was busting up, like, because it's funny, like, the way he came in and said it. So, obviously, we're in the booth now, and I've said it. But then other stuff came out my mouth after, like, I was just vomiting it out.
Wow.
Like, it was literally just meant to be, like, and sometimes when things happen that way, I just put it up as God. Because when you don't have control over your creative process, you know that something else is driving you. Do you get it? It was like a... I don't know, it was just right. Everything was just right in the moment. So I said, bang ding. And then I went sung sing and then dung ding. And then everything that was rhyming.
Yeah.
And I wrote down everything that rhymed and then put the sentences together to make sense. Obviously, every like, the universal, like, family tune is probably, like, Candy.
Yeah.
Everyone does Candy. But, like, from, like, your parents' like, era, did they have, like, any... Because you said it goes back to folk and stuff like that. Like, classic, like, chanting music. So do you have any that's, like, passed down, like, in your...
I think if I wouldn't just say my... Not say, as I said, with my family, because I know there was my mum came quite young, but I certainly know now, because I'm around people like, incredible people like Beverly Bogle, who is keeping certain traditions alive with the quadrille. And so... long time girl, I never see you. That is that's a song that most elders will know, which is a folk song again. Mm. Everyone will be singing that. So I think that's still kind of there with families, but it would probably be sitting, what would be maybe your generation, it'd be the grandparents who would know those tunes.
How do you feel Windrush has influenced British music?
Yeah, I think it significantly has, Windrush significantly influenced British music. Mm. From when the Empire Windrush came in and you had Lord Kitchener singing, "London is the place for me." Like, people were like, wow, this Calypsonian music, that already caught people's attention. And then they brought their music, right? Which would back then, I guess, would have been like rock and roll. Like, my mum was listening to someone called Solomon Burke, you know, and rock steady. Scar, of course. Yeah, so that music, two-tone, that had a massive impact on the British culture at the time, to the point they were all copying and having different bands. And then it's not stopped right there. So then, obviously, reggae music, that came along. Lovers Rock, we could come up to date because spinning off from that, there was dancehall from the reggae, which then brought drum, well, they called it jungle first, right? That was speeded up dancehall sampling, drum and bass. And on it goes, grime. So you can see the lineage, I would say, that absolutely the Windrush generation. And don't forget, before, because there was already a group of Caribbean people here, didn't start with just Windrush, but I think... So I'd be interested to know for you, like, what's been your influences, shall we say, from that generation?
I would say that... majority of my influences for music comes from songs that I can clearly see bring people together. So the songs that you'd hear in the christenings or the baptisms or the after parties, the funerals, everything. A lot of the gully music, the greasy music, is where I take my inspiration from. Like your Budja Banton, all of these lot, like Cartel. These lot are my, like, where I will go from, and these are the standpoints that I'm looking at for inspiration. So obviously, Notting Hill Carnival is a big thing, and it's literally just come back after COVID. It disappeared. So, have you been this year? Have you been, like?
Listen, I'm one of the organisers of the event. That's all good.
Sorry.
No, I'm saying I'm really proud of that, because as one of the first girl DJs back in the 1980s to have this journey, and like, well, 38 years later, to be one of the organisers and look after this legacy. Like, my parents came, when they came from Jamaica, they settled in Notting Hill. My dad fought with those Teddy Boys, the racists. And that whole thing of what the era was like then, that's what the carnival's born out of. So many people don't know the history of why we're on those streets. The murder of Keslo Coltrane. He was walking down those streets and was set upon. So that's why we're there. It started off as a protest, right? People are outraged. To this day, that's not been solved. And it has grown in terms of the community coming together, predominantly the Caribbean community, but it was a time where people said, enough, right? We're not gonna continue like this, and we need to fight against the racists, and we need to unite as black and white. And so that's what the event is about. That's what it's born from. And some people think, how come it's turned into this party? We're a joyous people from the Caribbean. That's what it became. It didn't start off as a Caribbean carnival. Ronnie Laslett was a woman. She was part Native American, part Russian. It's her vision. She started that and thought, what can I do to bring everyone together? And it started off as the children's parade. The Trinidadians brought in the steel pans. And in 1973, Mr. Leslie Palmer, he brought in the sound systems, So it's kind of became more of a Caribbean carnival. And it has become so important for us. I would say that's one of our most iconic, symbolic things, where no matter where you're from, we take up space. Because that area's changed now, right? It's become very gentrified. It's become quite affluent.
No matter how gentrified it gets, Notting Hill Carnival still go around.
Right, and that's when people say to me, oh, move it into the park. I'm like, no, it's called Notting Hill Carnival for a reason. So that's why it's on the streets. That's why it's important for us as people to know our history, to know the exact origins of the event. But I think we must remember all the sacrifices, all the greatness, all the artistry, the people who have really fought to make sure we can take up space and we can still be there. So that carnival things, there'll be things that will happen throughout the years, but we mustn't lose sight of the thousands of people throughout the year working on costumes, the bands that are rehearsing, the DJs that are preparing, the steel pans, the calypsonians. This is us. And that's what, for me, it's about. And we must never lose sight of that.
My earliest carnival memory, I was 18. That's not that early. Yeah. More so, I remember Brixton Splash.
So why was Brixton Splash so important to you?
It was... Brixton Splash, it resonates with me. Like, it sticks with me as a memory of better times. Do you get it? Brixton before gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
When I was still going primary school and stuff like that, like, That's why it's important to me.
And that's why I wanted to come back to Notting Hill Carnival. Because somehow, despite that, despite the area becoming the most desirable real estate in the whole of the United Kingdom, we're still there and it is still authentic.
You said you was born in the 70s.
Yeah.
How hard was it for you to get music, like, of your culture, like, and from back home?
Yeah.
Because obviously, like whatever music they was making, back
yes,
then,
in the studios and things, yeah.
How was it, like, getting to you?
That's the only way you could get it was from record shops or some. If someone went literally, like, say, from Yard or something.
Mm.
The 7-inch, the dub play, all of that was really important, and that's where the sound systems came in.
Because
that's the only place you're going to hear the tune.
Mm.
And that was the exclusivity. So going out was a big part of hearing new music.
Mm.
So that's why the dances were really popular. Well, anyway, for yourself, what would it have been?
What? Like partying and that?
And listening to music when you were growing up, hearing new music.
Hearing new music, I could go on TV. We had, like, Channel AKA.
Mm-hmm.
Channel AKA was first Channel U.
Okay.
So that's, like, if you want to watch TV, if you want to listen to music, you watch TV. But what about if you wanted to walk and listen to music, like, on the street?
Well, that didn't exist at that time. That came a bit later. So I'm born in the 1970s. Where you had to listen to radio. And then what the technology... Yeah, so then, as I said, and remember... Yeah, I'm just trying to... I can remember...
So when did vinyl. Tape recorders and Walkman and that...
That was coming into the early 80s. I still got mine, by the way. It's on
your Walkman?
I've kept all that stuff. I still got it. So that's when the cassettes came. But we had, like, vinyl. So I still remember my first one, like, Candy Girl, New Edition, 7-inch. But... We then had to start listening to our music on what was called cassettes, yeah, Walkmans, the tape cassette.
Mm.
And there's so many funny stories of that because our parents did have tape cassettes as well, but we were naughty. We would, like, wipe over.
I remember going on YouTube to MP3 converter,
yeah,
downloading the music off of YouTube, putting it up on my iPod, and then that's that, on my brick phone, and then that's that. That's how old I'm going back, but not
but
as far
still,
as...
it's still digital. So I'm, like, the pre-digital.
How do you think the music influenced the time of Windrush?
I think it kept them going because it was a really tough time for them.
Mm.
They, you know, they weren't getting the opportunities.
Mm.
They were working in jobs that weren't for them. So I think the music... was a release, it was a safe space, it was somewhere where they could have a release.
Yeah.
Yeah. So music was, like, super important for the Windrush generation, I would say.
Mm.
Moments of joy and escapism from the harsh housing conditions, from the discrimination that they faced. And, you know, being in employment, they were in roles that they were overqualified for. They had to retrain.
Mm.
So music kept a common identity. People came from different islands.
Mm.
And there was that unity and mixing, I guess, as well of islands, right? Because they came and they travelled from different places, but they were all here together. So I think that was what was beautiful as well, how those dances, those spaces in their homes, because remember, their home was where they felt safe and where they had those parties and dances.
Music was the, like, creating the home away from
definitely
home for all these people.
Yeah.
I feel you.